It's the sage, Larry Elder.
Larry Elder here, the sage from South Central, the prince of Pico Union, the czar of common sense, the great Eldersky, Don Lorenzo. Welcome to the program. No victocrats allowed because we've got a country to save. So let's get her teed up!
Do you want to play rock? Say hello to my new friend!
What the hell's going on out here?
Ooh, that's a bingo.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder. ReliefFactor.com studio, the World Health Organization director, has praised Trump's coronavirus response, says he's doing all he can. President has said we test more than anybody else. Governor Cuomo of New York says it might not have been a good thing to have shut down the entire economy of my state and telling people to shutter in place. After all, we told young people to shutter in place with old people. Now we're finding out that old people are more susceptible to contracting and dying from the coronavirus. Maybe it wasn't a good thing to have them all under one roof. But first, comedian Kathy Griffin says she was sent to the ER room with unbelievably painful symptoms and is blaming the Trump administration for the inability, she says, of the hospital to test her for the coronavirus. She says, quote, when President Trump says he's tested, we're testing far more than anybody else, quote, he's lying. I was sent to the coronavirus isolation ward room in a major hospital ER from a separate urgent care facility after showing unbearably painful symptoms. The doctor couldn't test me for coronavirus because of the CDC Pence Task Force restrictions. Yeah, so painful she was able to post selfies. Anyway, President Trump said this.
With that being said, I'm going to say it again. We tested far more than anybody else. We have the ability to test. I mean, we've come a long way from an obsolete, broken system that I inherited. We have now tested with the best test far more than anybody else. And when I say anybody else, I'm talking about other countries. No country is even close. They came out with a statistic, yesterday that I heard from Dr. Birx, where it's for eight days here, more than 8 weeks in South Korea. And South Korea's done a good job. But we did in 8 days more than South Korea did in 8 weeks. That's a big number.
Now, for that assertion, Chris Cuomo, who has a show on CNN, which I watch, so you don't have to, tweeted the following, quote, what is clear is that this is not true. What is unclear is why Trump continues to deceive and why his supporters and Republican power structure continue to enable, close quote. So the president says we're testing far more than anybody else. Quote, what is clear is that this is not true, says Chris Cuomo. Meanwhile, his brother, who is governor of New York, said this.
On the public health numbers, our testing number is up again. We did 18,650 tests. This was just a massive mobilization operational undertaking. We had never done it before. You now have to set up all these drive-throughs. You have to set up all these testing facilities. And we're testing more than any state in the country. We're testing more per capita than South Korea, more per capita than China.
Okay, now he's talking, of course, about New York, but New York is the epicenter of this coronavirus. 50% of the cases are in New York, and now the governor of New York saying we're testing more than in South Korea. And the Surgeon General was not limiting this just to New York. Here's what he said.
There is, in fact, good news. We've turned the corner on testing. We've now done more testing in the last 8 days than Korea has done in 8 weeks. And so that will give us more and better information. And also, we see that China is now starting to reopen. We see that cases in Italy, deaths in Italy, are starting to come down. We don't want to count our chickens before they hatch because we want to make sure that trend continues. But that gives us hope that if we lean into these mitigation efforts for the next several days, the way the president has said, and if people take the right measures, that we can be reopening again sooner than what we thought.
And you remember the allegation that the President Trump administration turned down the offer from the World Health Organization for all of these masks? And it turns out the masks were substandard, and as a result, that's why we rejected them. The World Health Organization Director General has praised Trump's coronavirus response.
And the president's commitment, you have already seen it. and the world have seen it. And that kind of leadership is very, very important, the whole of government approach, to mobilize all sectors and stop or suppress the pandemic. So I know he's doing all he can, but not only the whole of government approach, but the other, like expanding testing and also the other recommendations we're making are also in play, and he takes that seriously, and that's what we see. And I had a conversation, I had a chance to discuss with him, and that's what he said, and he's doing. So I believe that that kind of political commitment and political leadership can bring change or can stop this pandemic.
President Trump doing all he can, says the World Health Organization. Dr. Fauci explains why Italy might be such a hotbed of coronavirus.
Italy got hit really badly, almost certainly, and I think this gets to your question about us here in the United States, is Italy got hit very badly because they had a large number of importations from China by Chinese tourists. And before they even knew what was going on, there was enough baseline people spreading that it essentially got out of hand. And it became difficult for them, as good as they are, and they're very good, to be able to contain it in a way that is contact tracing, all that kind of thing. It was more mitigation. How do we deal with what we have? Mm. They're in a very difficult position.
And speaking of which, 95% of Americans, according to Pew Research, say Trump's travel bans were necessary to stop the spread of the coronavirus. Recall what Joe Biden said when Trump imposed the ban to and from China? He called it hysterical xenophobia. Dr. Fauci says the virus is on its own timetable.
Chris, you've got to be realistic, and you've got to understand that you don't make the timeline. The virus makes the timeline. Mm. So you've got to respond in what you see happen. And if you keep seeing this acceleration, it doesn't matter what you say, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you've got to go with what the situation on the ground is. So when people say it may take months, I think what people are talking about is how long it takes to go all the way down.
And today, President Trump talked about the coronavirus and the American business response.
As we top 81,000 cases in the U.S., does it make sense to relook at using the Defense Production Act?
Well, I talked about the Defense Production Act a lot, and I've enacted it. I have it. I can do it with a pen. And we have actually used it on two minor occasions, and then we could withdraw it. But for the most part, the companies, we don't need it. We say, we need this, and they say, don't bother, we're going to do it. I mean, we're dealing with Ford, General Motors, 3M. We're dealing with great companies. They want to do this. They want to do this. They're doing things that frankly, they don't need somebody to walk over there with a hammer and say, do it. They are getting it done. They're making tremendous amounts of equipment, tremendous amounts. And when this is over, we're going to be fully stockpiled, which they would have never been, except for a circumstance. This was something that nobody has ever thought could happen to this country. I'm not even blaming. Look, we inherited a broken situation, but I don't totally blame the people that were before me and this administration. Nobody would have ever thought a thing like this could have happened. But the Production Act, Defense Production Act, is a wonderful thing, but I just haven't had to use it. They know it's activated. They know I can use it. Maybe that frightens them a little bit. You know, it's got tremendous power, but I haven't had to.
Nancy Pelosi says that the things she wanted to put in the coronavirus bill were all about the coronavirus and nothing else. Say that to Kevin McCarthy, who blasted her on the floor of the House and accused her of lying about the changes to the coronavirus bill, called it an, quote, outright lie. Joe Biden has been conducting his own coronavirus task force updates from his home, and they have been an absolute disaster. Although they've been entertaining, he had difficulty with the Pledge of Allegiance, with the Declaration of Independence again. We hold these truths, you know the thing, you know the thing, et cetera, et cetera, you know the thing.
Welcome back to the Larry Elder Show.
My name's Joe Biden. I'm running for, in this case, running for President of the United States. Look me over. If you like what you see, help out. If not, vote for the other person.
I just spoke at Dartmouth on healthcare at the medical school, or not, I guess I wasn't actually on the campus, but the people from the medical school were at the, I want to be clear, I'm not going nuts. I'm not sure whether it was a medical school or where the hell I spoke, but it was on the campus.
I want to thank Rich Fitzgerald, the county executive, Allegheny County executive, for being here. And I propose, and I'm going to digress slightly. We're in a situation. President asked me to head up a cancer moonshot.
President Biden, just to be clear, would you or would you not rejoin the TPP, yes or no?
I would not rejoin the TPP as it was initially put forward.
In Guatemala, El Salvador, and to win and say in Honduras and say, look.
I know I'm called middle class Joe. It's not meant as a compliment. It means I'm not sophisticated.
Let him go.
And there's an area where there's an important difference between this and there's an important difference between the candidates. I'm running. The country wasn't built by Wall Street bankers, CEOs, and hedge fund managers. This guy is moving to foment hate. The price for whatever the drug costs are. Well, folks, eliminate one tax loophole out of $1.6 trillion worth. $1.4 trillion worth. Out of $1.4 trillion.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden, Democratic candidate for President of the United States.
Damn.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. Want to thank everybody for taking the time out of your own concerns to step up in the final few days of my campaign to rush food and clean, safe drinking water to children in Guatemala through our friends at Food for the Poor. I'm proud of all of you and your amazing generosity. And the Food for the Poor Executive Director, Angel Aloma, whom I met when I was in Guatemala City for Food for the Poor, also thanks you.
I have lived in four countries, and I have to tell you, I have never seen generosity and philanthropy like Americans. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's at home, if it's abroad, if it's in Banda Aceh for the tsunami, if it's in Katrina in New Orleans. It doesn't matter where. That's how Americans are. They recognize their neighbor in whatever person is really going through trouble, because we are feeding people there every single day.
And you can help today by going to LarryElder.com. Click on the Feed Starving Families banner at the very top to make your tax-deductible gift to Food for the Poor. It only takes a few minutes to literally save lives. All you have to do is go to my website, LarryElder.com, or call 855-918-4673. That's 855-918-HOPE. How bad is it?
Just outside one of Guatemala's largest landfills sits an entire community. Each day, residents sift through piles of garbage, picking out anything of value, either to keep or to sell. There's a lot of them, says one of the on-duty managers. Severe poverty in Guatemala, systematically pushing residents to join migrant caravans headed to the U.S. southern border. 60% of Guatemalans live below the poverty line, and 95% of them don't earn enough to provide for their family's basic needs.
$80 provides a hungry child with food for a year, water for life, but your gift in any amount is needed. So go to my website, LarryElder.com. You'll see the Feed Starving Families banner at the very top, or do it by phone, 855-918-4673. That's 855-918-HOPE. Nancy Pelosi says that the things she wanted to cram into their relief bill were only about the coronavirus.
Understand this about this. It's really important to know this. This is all about the coronavirus. It's not about anything else. It's about the coronavirus. So this is temporary for this period of time. And it's important to know that, because people said, well, why should we do it? Because of the coronavirus. It's a public health issue, and we have to keep people as healthy as we can.
That's why we wanted the $25 million for the Kennedy Center, because of the coronavirus. That's why we wanted to demand that there be a union rep on the board of every major airline, because of the coronavirus. That's why we demanded that the airlines reduce their carbon footprint by 50% by 2050, because of the coronavirus. Here's what Kevin McCarthy said.
We are working for every American in this country
and we want them to know that help is on the way. Sadly, though, there are some individuals in Congress who, even in the midst of a pandemic, think this is a tremendous opportunity to restructure things to fit their own vision. They're more focused on dividing us rather than trying to bring this country together. Those people want to debate election law, Green New Deal, or sanctuary cities. In a bill that is meant to assist those who are struggling families, our health, and our security. Every day matters as we debated a solution that would deliver much needed relief. We just watched in the last week 3.28 million people laid off. That's higher, multiplying higher than we ever watched in the financial crisis. The speaker herself just said every day, every week that is wasted on not taking this seriously is a problem. I could not agree more. And yet for days, Democrats stalled this bill. How many people were laid off as the Democrats fought to change the election law or implement the Green New Deal? How many parents lost sleep wondering how they were going to make the payments on the next month? How many small businesses sat around a kitchen table and had to make that decision they never had to before about laying their employees off that are like family? A few minutes ago, the speaker stood at this podium and claimed that House Democrats did what she called a jiu-jitsu to change the bill. That is an outright lie. The fundamental portions of this bill has not changed since Sunday. 4 months for unemployment was already decided on Sunday. The grant to keep employees hired on small business was already decided on Sunday. The only few additions were funding of things that had nothing to do with the coronavirus. Was that worth holding it up and more people being laid off? More people losing sleep? More people wondering if they can continue? Those are the type of games that have to stop in Washington.
Now, Joe Biden has been conducting a coronavirus briefing from his home in a studio, and they've been a disaster. He looks awkward. He's lost his spot on the teleprompter. He's been out of frame. And 2 days ago, an article in The Intercept was about a woman who alleges in 1993 she was sexually assaulted by Joe Biden. She was interviewed by a blogger. We're going to play part of that interview with this woman. And for 2 days, I have seen radio silence on CNN and MSNBC on this story. Can you imagine if some woman came forward and, in very graphic detail, outlined what she claimed was a sexual assault committed by one Donald J. Trump? You think there would have been radio silence for the last 48 hours? It's pretty incredible. And Joe Biden, again, has forgotten the beginning of the Declaration of Independence when he was giving his coronavirus update. All of that and more. Joe Biden in mid-season form.
If we were setting up an education system for the first time in our history, as we did at the turn of the last in the late 1800s, we would not say 12 years was enough. 12 years is not enough to live in the second quarter of the middle of the 21st century.
Second quarter in the middle of the 21st century. I'm Larry Elder. You know the thing.
Well, there's a man in town all the women know. He goes by the name of Noisy Joe. He don't care if they're married. He takes his pick. As long as they're women, he's ready to stick. His big nose in their business. His big nose in their business. Oh, that's Noisy Joe. The nose is.
Now back to the sage, Larry Elder.
Nancy Pelosi says that she's a Catholic. I think she should go to confession and confess before the United States of America and confess to God for what she's doing to America. Yeah, Larry, I think it'd be a real good time for all these superstar athletes to start dipping into their bank accounts and donating to community food banks, you know, help people, rescue people. Find a few people that ain't working.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. Joe Biden said all women should be believed when they make allegations of sexual harassment, sexual assault. Well, a woman who used to work for him in 1993 alleges that Joe Biden sexually assaulted her and gave a detailed description of what happened to a blogger. The woman who claims she was sexually assaulted by Joe Biden is named Tara Reid, R-E-A-D-E, who said she went to a number of pro-women's rights organizations with her allegation that nobody wanted to touch it. All of that and more. Now, you've helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to my listeners. By the way, MyPillow is answering the call for more face masks in the country as the country is dealing with this global coronavirus pandemic. MyPillow will be making face masks for hospitals across the country. You heard Trump say he didn't need to force people to do it. They're stepping up. Well, Mike Lindell is stepping up. You can also get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener specials. MyPillow's offering, buy one, get one free on a variety of amazing products, including but not limited to the Suprema MyPillows, the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Towels, the Roll and Go Anywhere Pillows, Duvet Covers, Giza Pillowcases, Bolster Pillows, and Neck Pillows. Plus, if you buy Mike Lindell's book, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO, you're going to get free shipping and a $25 gift certificate. So go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code Larry, or call 800-890-1843. Again, make sure you use promo code Larry. Joe Biden says that social distancing is unnecessary and then corrects himself and says it's necessary.
Look, none of us want to be cooped up in our homes just as the weather is turning nice, just as spring break travel plans were approaching, just as the campaign for the presidency is kicking into high gear. It's unfair to all of us, and it's unnecessary for all of us, but it's necessary in fact. It's necessary for all of us to have to deal with it.
So it's necessary, unnecessary, it's sort of necessary. And remember when Joe had a little difficulty with the beginning of the Declaration of Independence?
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go, you know the thing.
Well, when he was giving us one of his coronavirus updates, he encountered the same problem.
And what we have done is the reason why most of the world has repaired to us, particularly after World War II, is because of who we are as a nation. We, the people, we hold these truths, etc. Sounds corny, but
we hold these truths, you know the thing, I'm just saying.
These truths, etc. Sounds corny, but it's real. And that's why, that's why the vast majority of the nations have followed us.
It's probably better than saying, you know the thing.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by, you know the thing.
Next segment, I'm going to play you part of an interview that a blogger, a journalist, did with a woman named Tara Reid. Reid is accusing Joe Biden of having sexually assaulted her in 1993 when she worked for him. And it turns out she went to one of these legal defense funds, one called Time's Up, which is a fund administered by the National Women's Law Center. And they refused to get involved in her case, said it was too political considering Biden was a candidate for president, and they didn't want to jeopardize their status of associating with the National Women's Law Center. She said the organization refrained from offering her support. She claims that in 1993, she was unambiguously assaulted by Joe Biden. She was interviewed by a journalist named Katie Halper, H-A-L-P-E-R, who helped bring the accusation to light. She says, Reid says she worked for Biden in the early 1990s, and she complained to her bosses about sexual harassment in Biden's office. She said a supervisor once asked her to serve drinks at an event because she had attractive legs. She said she once tried to talk to a supervisor about what happened, but the person shut her down before she could tell the whole story. She said she also filled out an official form detailing her assault, but does not know what became of it. She also said she told friends around the same time. All of that and more when we come back. Tara Reid, accusation of Joe Biden of sexual assault. This, by the way, was published in a website called The Intercept 2 days ago, and I watched a lot of CNN and MSNBC, as you know, so you don't have to. And in that 48 hours, I haven't seen word one about this allegation.
It's the sage, Larry Elder.
Do not leave town.
His big nose in your business. Oh, that's Nosy Joe, the nosiest guy I know.
If you disrespect everybody,
Larry's father, Staff Sergeant Randolph Elder, says hard work wins. You get out of life what you put into it. And now, here's Larry Elder.
I want to thank the American people for answering the call, following our guidelines, and making the sacrifices required to overcome this terrible threat more aggressively. We commit to social distancing. So important. Social distancing, such an important phrase. And we do it right now. The more lives we can save and the sooner we can eventually get people back to work, back to school, and back to normal. And there are large sections of our country probably can go back much sooner than other sections. And we're obviously looking at that also. People are asking, is that an alternative? I say, absolutely, it is an alternative.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. No Safe Spaces is now available to watch for a limited time only at NoSafeSpaces.com. It was the number one documentary of 2019, and now it's available to watch at home. Make good use of this time at home and watch No Safe Spaces. Share it with your family. A lot of content there. Stars Dennis Prager, Adam Carolla, make you laugh, make you cry. Has a 99% audience rating at RottenTomatoes.com. That's the highest rating for any film last year. Critics have called it smart, vital, urgent. One of the most important documentaries you'll see today. It illustrates why and how America is exceptional. Shows you how our foundational values have come under attack. How you can fight back. It's a must-see for any American, young or old. NoSafeSpaces.com. That's NoSafeSpaces.com. Tara Reid is a woman that used to work for Joe Biden, and in an interview with a blogger, a journalist, she accuses Joe Biden of having insulted her in 1993. Now, the allegation was made a couple of days ago, at least in a publication called The Intercept, and I've been watching cable to find out when and where they're going to mention this, and to my knowledge, I've not seen any mention of this. Here is this woman, Tara Reid, the alleged victim of an assault by Joe Biden.
Called me in and said, I want you to take this to Joe. He wants it. He wants you to bring it. Hurry. And I said, okay. And it was a gym bag. She said, you know, take the gym bag. She called it athletic bag. And, you know, she said he was down towards the Capitol and he'll meet you. And so I went down and I was heading down towards there. And he was at first talking to someone. I could see him at a different distance and then they went away. And then we were in like the side. It was like the side area. And, he just said, hey, come here, Tara. And then I handed him the thing and he greeted me. He remembered my name. And then we were alone and it was the strangest thing. There was no like exchange, really. He just had me up against the wall. And I was wearing like a skirt and, you know, business skirt, but I wasn't wearing stockings. It was kind of a hot day that day. And I was wearing heels. And I remember my legs had been hurting from the marble, you know, of the Capitol, mm-hmm. like walking. And I remember that kind of stuff. I remember like I was wearing a blouse and he just had me up against the wall and the wall was cold. And I remember it happened all at once. The gym bag, I don't know where it went. I handed it to him, it was gone. And then his hands were on me and underneath my clothes. And and then he went down my skirt, but then up inside it, and he penetrated me with his fingers, whatever. And he was kissing me at the same time, and he was saying something to me. He said several things, and I can't remember everything he said. I remember a couple of things. I remember him saying first, before, like as he was doing it, do you want to go somewhere else? And then him saying to me when I pulled away, he got finished doing what he was doing. And I kind of was pulled back and he said, come on, man, I heard you liked me. Mm-hmm. And it's that phrase stayed with me because I kept thinking what I might've said. And I can't remember exactly if he said I thought or if I heard, but it's like he implied like that I had done this, like, I don't know. And for me, it was like everything shattered in that moment because I knew like, we were alone. It was over, right? He wasn't trying to do anything more, but I looked up to him. He was like my father's age. He was this champion of women's rights in my eyes. And I couldn't believe it was happening. It didn't seem, it seemed surreal. And I just felt sick because when he pulled back, he looked annoyed. And he said something else to me that I don't want to say. And then he said, I must have looked shocked. And he grabbed me by the shoulders. I don't know how I looked, but I must have looked something because he grabbed me by the shoulders and he said, "You're okay. You're fine. You're okay. You're fine." And then he walked away and he went on with his day. And what I remember next is being in the Russell Building, like where the big windows are and the stairs, by myself. And my body, I was shaking everywhere because, and it was cold all of a sudden. And I was, I don't know, I felt like I was shaking just everywhere. And I was trying to grasp what had just happened and what I should do or what I should say. But I knew it was bad because he was so angry. Like when he left, like I could feel, you know how when you know someone's angry, they don't necessarily say anything. Like he smiles when he's angry and you can just feel it emanating from him. Like,
do you want to share that thing that you said you don't, like you said, like, I don't want to say what he said, that thing he said to you.
Yeah, I can, I guess I could.
I mean, you don't have to.
It's okay. It's just, it's almost like giving a weapon to them.
How so?
Well, it's like, I don't want them to know how much it hurt. I don't, you know, I don't want him to know when they, I don't know. But
that,
yeah,
like that you remembered it?
Yeah, just the, I don't know. But yeah, I can say it. Yeah, there's something he said that I didn't want to say, and I didn't want to say it because it's the thing that stays in my head over and over, like, and it's a thing that kind of stayed with me over the years. But he said, when he had me against the wall after he had done, after I pulled away, and he had said, "Hey, you know, come on, I heard you liked me," and I knew he was angry right after he took his finger. He just like pointed at me and he said, "You're nothing to me." And then he just looked at me and he goes, "You're nothing, nothing."
Wow. 888-971-SAGE. I am Larry Elder.
America, we have a country to save. And now, here's Larry Elder.
And then I must have reacted. I think he only said it twice. I said, but I just heard the word nothing. And I must have reacted because that's when he took me by the shoulders and he said, you know, "You're okay, you're fine, you're okay." But then afterwards, like, it kept replaying in my head. I'm like, last April, when all that stuff came out, I got really, really sad about it. And the thing that I remember most, almost more than the assault itself, was just being told I was nothing. And he was right. That's how people treated me. Mm. That's how office treated me. And I have no platform. I am no one. And to him, I'm nothing. So, yeah. So if people want to know why women don't come forward, that's a good example of why.
Ad living a joke in a Friday speech, making light of it.
I just want you to know, I had permission to hug Lonnie.
And again, after inviting children to the stage.
By the way, he gave me permission to touch him. All right?
And this is a man who's vowed to have a female as vice president. 888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. You can subscribe to our podcast for only 99 cents for the first month anyway. Just go to the website. You can check out my weekly column. This column is about Ice-T saying he wants to see Donald Trump in handcuffs. Ice Cube, rather. He wants to see. I get my ices confused. Ice-T, Vanilla Ice, Ice Cube. I'm like Joe Biden and Chuck. Ice Cube. He benefited from school choice because his parents did not want him to go to a crappy local high school. And he wants the president of choice to be frog marched out of the Oval Office in handcuffs. Seems a little inconsistent. So check it out. Now, the zip poll question I left you with yesterday, assuming the mandate to stay at home were lifted, would you go back to work, or do you think it's too soon? 74% of you said you would go back to work. Here's the one for tonight, results tomorrow. Some say there's friction between Trump and Dr. Fauci. Do you think Fauci will soon resign? Either yes, he will soon resign, or no, he will not soon resign. Go to your app store, search under Zip Poll USA in order to participate, and you have to use my code SAGE, S-A-G-E. Again, some claim there's friction between Trump and Dr. Anthony Fauci of the National Institutes of Health. Do you believe he'll resign soon? Either yes or no. I'll give the results tomorrow. It still blows me away that this woman made this allegation, and the cable, CNN and MSNBC, to my knowledge, I watch a lot of it, has not said one word. Can you imagine if a woman came forward and made an allegation like that about Donald Trump? They stopped coronavirus coverage.
That's enough. Put down the mic.
I want to thank Larry for the job he's done.
All across America, the mic has been dropped. The Larry Elder Show.